Hi, it's Marcia.
This is Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know I can see Chris.
Nice to speak with you, Chris. I hope you all had a good Shabbat and are right and ready.
Yeah.
We're going to be starting in about 1 minute. I'm about to start the call. Adam, is that you? Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Welcome to the conference call and to the Ubu recording. If you have any questions, feel free to shout them out. Please join me, as I said, for the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedulat Yemincha, Dati Sera, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506, which brings us to the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, and to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which connects us to memories, which are really patterns. Kabel Rina Amcha Sagvenu Tahavenu No Ra Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. This sequence spells two Hebrew words, Kra Satan. Kra means stir up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, and reminds us to guard our gates, the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. Na Gibor Roshay Rabudcha Kivah Shamrein Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet Gematria 57 connects us to the Hebrew word Zan, which means Parnassah or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sitkatha Tami Tamlem Betzet Reish Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Mirov Tuvcha Na'ev Adata Tet Kufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pinei Zokrei Yud Gimelamet Bei Zion Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Sadi Yud Taf. The letters Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Fet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, or also known as Cancer, and also the Hebrew month of Tammuz. The eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Okay. I'm now going to read a verse from the Zohar. From the Parsha of Pinchas, I'm reading verse 401. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Pinchas v'yamar v'adonai ha'i yitir al sedom v'al amurot yigif rot v'ish Amai of Yad Lon Begin Dildin Tri Rea Rea La Mishro Behahi Shaata Sidra in Fay Rea Da in Fay Yona in Nahba Bixer Inun Raphael Sitiel the Ayahu Itmaros Malakal Brohok Lunash Kala Tadir Kamei Ba. He began by quoting, then Hashem caused to rain upon Sodom and Amorah brimstone and fire. Why did he burn them? Because at that time the wings of the lung did not blow a wind on the illumination of the left that is in the heart, and thus it was the illumination of the left that burnt them up. And the secret of these wings of the lung is the secret of the verse, the wings of a dove covered with silver. For dove, which is the secret of Malchut, of which the root is from the left of Bina, from the aspect of the heart that is to be covered with silver, which is the secret of Chasadim. And when it is covered with silver, it is the secret of the angels Raphael and Sidkiel, which are drawn down from it. For the health and salvation of the world, and it is said about them, who makes the winds his messengers, namely permanently to blow on the heart, namely to illuminate with Chasadim. The verse is a little bit esoteric in that it brings in the angels as well as talking about the body. But the verse before it is explaining that if it wasn't for the lungs being by the heart, the fire in the heart would burn up the whole world, would burn up the whole body. And it's because the air is cooling and balancing that the body is able to exist. And this is also true in the angels that are brought into this verse. And it's all explaining this concept of when the illumination comes from the left side, when the fulfillment is from the frame of judgment, the world is not able to exist by itself. There's a midrash that talks about Hashem saw that the world, when built on judgment, on strict judgment, could not exist. What is strict judgment? If a 10-year-old child stole a candy bar, then As I was saying, with a 10-year-old child, steals a candy bar, then their hand will fall off. That's strict judgment. Immediate cause and effect. Everything that happens, you would see the effect the next instant. And this is not a world that is easy to live in. Because I think it's clear. Right now we live in a world of mercy, a world where our actions do not have a media effect. And it allows us to have the illusion, but it also allows us to have the time, which is mercy, in order to do tshuva and change the effects in our life, change the movie of our life. Does anybody have any questions before I start the class today?
I would just like to make sure everybody mutes so we don't get the background noise.
On the cell phone, I can change that. I will change the background noise on the cell phone so that it doesn't disturb people. That in order for you to ask questions on the cell phone, you're going to have to press *6.
I could cut off.
And Joe, I know you've got some people there, so if you could mute your cell phone or you mute your speaker so that your conversation doesn't get on the recording. Okay. Last week, we started with the structures of the letter, and we spoke in terms of the four basic types of structures of the letter. Bacha, do you have one of the letters you can hold up? It's breaking up. There it is. It's upside down. Thank you. That's a just as an example, she's holding up the letter Aleph. And it is not the it is not the script we use in the Torah, and it doesn't have all of the attributes. But as we talk about them, I'll explain that. But as the letters that we spoke about, every letter has a shape, has a body. Every letter has a vowel. Every letter has tagim, which are crowns that come out of the top of the letter. Some letters have zero tagim. Some letters have three. Some letters have one. And the fourth component is called trope. And when you read a chumash, you may see some marks that are unusual that you're not familiar with. The trope is telling the chanter, I don't want to say a singer because he doesn't really sing, but there is a tune to the reading of the Torah. And that tune is directed by the trope. And there are also secrets. There is wisdom in the trope. The Gra, who lived about 1600-1700, the Gaon de Vilna is another name he is known by. He once explained, or many times explained, difficult verses by evaluating the trope, because the location of the trope within a word, typically there is only one trope mark per word. Sometimes there are two, but typically only one. But actually, every letter has a trope mark, even if it is concealed. And that trope mark represents the chanting, and the location of it represents many, many different aspects. But this is what we spoke about last week, these four different general types of items within the structure of the letters. Now, there are other attributes of the letters. We didn't talk about them last week, but in the Percula Vos, the Ethics of the Fathers, the letter, there's a comment by one of the sages of the Talmud, and he says that gematria and astrology is the spice of the Torah. The gematria is the number value of the letter. The astrology is primarily coming from the Sefer Yetzirah, which I had mentioned last week, and will keep you informed when I do start it. I will be teaching the Sefer Yetzirah. And the Sefer Yetzirah is both a book of astrology and a book of meditative tool. The Sefer Yetzirah was written by Abraham, the patriarch, as a book of outreach, as a book of explanation to the people of his generation, explaining the unity of God, the unity of all, and also teaching people how to make a personal connection to that unity, how to participate within that unity, how to appreciate it. And we'll be teaching both aspects when I start. And it's something I don't think has ever been done, that people try to teach both items at the same time. So we have an astrological relationship to the letters, which we utilize with the Yana B'Koach this morning. We have a gematria. And today I'm going to speak a little bit about the gematria, not an extensive amount, because my screen just crashed like it did last week, and I apologize for that. I'm going to stop for 1 minute while I contact the other people and have them join in the conference call. So I'm going to disconnect. I will come back in 1 or 2 minutes. I apologize for that. I'm back, in case anybody has any questions. I apologize for the interruption, but technology is what it is. And while the truth of that technology, I have to figure out what I'm doing wrong, not on the technological level, but on the spiritual level, so these things don't happen. I was starting to talk about the gematria and also the astrological effects of the letters. But I want to talk a little bit about what this comment from Perkei Avot is talking about and speaking to. The comment from Perkei Avot is that the gematria and the astrology is the spice of Torah. Now, what is spice? Why would he use a metaphor of spice? The number value is intrinsic to each letter. Each letter has a number value. But it's not a number value that was built into the structure of creation. It's something that's been agreed to. Whether that was agreed to from the Creator, which is part possibly true, but we don't really know. Or whether it was agreed to by men. But it isn't one of the four levels. It's not a sound that was created by the Creator. It's not the shape that was created by the Creator. And we can talk about the forms and the academic world that describes the letters in a different way. They feel that the letters that make up the Torah today is not the original letters. And there is aspects and wisdom that comes out of that knowledge as well, or that approach. It's not really knowledge. But what does it mean to have spice? Have you ever had a meal without salt? Without pepper, without spices? Do you enjoy that meal as much? What is the concept of spice? I'd like you to think about it, because it does impact what is the reality of the real letters. Now, the reality of the letters, there are two aspects to the number value, to the gematria. One is called gematria, and one is called notarikon. Notarikon means letter substitutions. There are actually 10 different alphabets. There's only 27 letters, 22 basic letters, and 5 final letters. And there will be another letter, a 23rd letter. How do we know this? Well, we know this from the Midrash, but we also know it from the human being. Human being has 23 pairs of chromosomes as part of the DNA structure, as part of the helix structure. The DNA of the human being and the DNA of the universe comes from the same source. Those sources are the 23 spiritual powers, pure spiritual essences that come through. And the letters are metaphors for those 23 levels. In my opinion, food without spice is not worth eating. And, you know, I don't want to say, God forbid, I'd rather die. But I have had food that was not spiced. My father had various illnesses from gout and other diseases as I was growing up, and he was going through his life process. And my mother would only cook one meal for the family. So if my father couldn't have spice, I didn't have spice. And I don't enjoy food like that. And I don't enjoy Torah without gematria, or without letter substitutions, or without the astrological influence, without the astrological understanding. I don't think it's complete without these things. And that's why when we talk about the letters, which are the building blocks, the DNA of the universe, these aspects, the gematria and the notarikon, are really part of this system, and the astrology are part of the totality. Let's talk about the 10 alphabets. One alphabet is the normal one. It starts Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, etc. Another alphabet, let me explain. The letters are only used, there are only these 27, and eventually when the Mashiach comes, we'll be introduced to the 28th letter. These 27 letters are used throughout the alphabets. All 10 of them do not use anything but these 10, but these letters. So when I say there are 10 alphabets, I'm talking about the order of the alphabets, the relationships of the alphabet. And these one Aleph Bet is the normal order. Aleph Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Pei, Vav, Zion, etc. Another order is in reverse order. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Sadi, Pei, Ayin, Samach. That reverse order. And the Kabbalists teach us that the straightforward order, Aleph Bet Gimel, is an order related to mercy, to chesed. And that in reverse order, it's related to judgment. They also indicate, using the language of Kabbalah, that the normal order is direct light. And the returning reverse order is returning light. They also indicate in this aspect that these two orders relate to inner light and surrounding light. Now there are 7 letter substitution, 8 letter substitution techniques. One of them is letters that come from the same part of the mouth, and there are 5 structures of the mouth with a letter that, like the aleph that has no sound, and the hay comes from the same part of the mouth. The gutturals, letters that come from the back of the throat, from the middle of the throat, from the labia, from the upper part of the mouth. There are 5 areas of the mouth that letters come from when we say the sounds. And any given letter that comes from that same part of the mouth can be substituted at any time. if you want to know what letters get substituted for what letters, on the chart of the Tikkun HaNefesh that you've been given when you learned about the Ana B'Koach, and I hope you're utilizing because it's a beneficial tool, in the area of the mouth, the box number 10, you'll see the letters written in the five different categories, five different parts of the mouth, and you can see which letters go with which letters. There are then seven other forms of letter substitution that are called by their names of the letters the way they substitute. So there's one called the Akbash, which is Aleph gets substituted to the Taf, and the Bet gets substituted to the Shin. That's where Akbash comes from. The Gimel would be substituted for the Resh. What that substitution is, the first letter of the alphabet is substituted for the last letter of the alphabet. The second letter of the alphabet is substituted for the second to the last. And the gimel, the third letter of the alphabet, is substituted for the third letter from the end. This is the Akbash. There's a form called the Albam, Aleph to the Lamed, and Bet to the Mem. The Atbach, Aleph to the Tet, the Bet to the Chet. The Avgad, Aleph to the Bet, Gimel to the Dalet. What that was saying is basically if you look at the Aleph Bet as a number line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Going to the left, Aleph becomes a Bet. The Bet becomes a Gimel. The Gimel becomes a Dalet. Going to the right, the Aleph becomes a Taf. The Bet becomes an Aleph. The Gimel becomes a Bet. And there are three other forms that are less used. One is called Achas Beta, where the other two are called the Ayik Bekar and Adag Beged. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on these less used forms, but for you to be aware that they're there. Now, one of the criticisms of gematria and letter substitution is that you can make up, it looks like you're making up the rules as you go along. If you want A equal to B, you just create that out of these different forms of letter substitution. Because ultimately, every letter can be substituted for every other letter, some directly, and sometimes you have to go to two substitutions. But essentially, every letter can be substituted for every other letter. And what that means is that everything is everything. Everything is unified. And that's the teaching that's built into gematria and letter substitution, these two forms of spice. Another criticism of the gematria itself has to do with the kolel. And the kolel is a interesting aspect because sometimes a word will add up to a number, 407. And another word will add up to 408 or 411. if it has four letters in it. And the explanation of why they're equivalents is of the Kollel. Now, what the Kollel is really saying is this letter or this word is still connected to the spiritual world, whereas this other word is not. The letters of the first word are not connected to the spiritual world, but the letters of the second word are. And therefore, the relationship between these words is as if they were the same number. And this is used quite extensively in the writings of the Ari, in the teachings of the Ari, because he was on the level to know which words, which letters kept to the connected to the spirituals, whereas in other words they did not. There are rules, very specific rules, for when to use the Kollel and when not to. There are 32 of those rules. Is that a surprise? No, 32 paths of wisdom. But people who are not familiar with the full depth of Gematria and Noterican will assert, you're just making this up. You know, you're saying this means that. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You're just making it up. But as I've said, I perceive these aspects as really very important. And I perceive these as really one of the more enjoyable aspects of understanding the letters. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how we can learn from letter substitutions and how really the power that is built into them. We have a word, mitzvah. It's spelled mem tzadi vav hey. It has a mixture of chesed and gevurah within this word. How do I know that statement? How do I know that? Because the order of the letters, the first letter to the second letter, is following the direct order of the alphabet. But then it starts to reverse itself. Mem Tzadi is following in the correct order. Vav He is following in the reverse order. Vav He represents, the reverse order represents judgment. The regular order represents mercy. This is a way to start to analyze words. It's not used often, but it should be used more often. It helps give you an example, because there are some words that are only merciful, and other words that are only judgmental. Mitzvah has an aspect of both energies, both aspects. The shoresh of mitzvah can be two different shoreshim. One of that, and many people follow this pattern, mitzvah gets translated as good deed. It gets translated as law, commandment. And one of the shoreshes is actually the word tzav, which means command. And so it's easy for people to point out, because that's clearly one of the potential shoreshes of that word. Shoresh means root. But there is another mitzvah. And that mitzvah, there is another shoresh that is a possibility. And that shoresh means connection. Mem Sadi He, I believe, is the Shoresh that means connection. Batya, if I'm incorrect, just let me know. But I know that built into this Shoresh is the concept of connection. So the real question is, which is the higher meaning? What is the reason why we have these two different Shoreshes? Because we have to understand within the context of words. In the Hebrew language, they're always built from a Shoresh, from a root. That root is a spiritual root. The meaning of a root comes from a higher level. Yes, it's in our physical world, but it comes from a higher level, and we need to appreciate it from that standpoint. Just as a Shoresh, a word that comes from one Shoresh, and another word that comes from that same Shoresh, there's a relationship to those words. Just as it comes from the concept of the gematria being spice, the letter substitution being spice, the astrology being spice. The same thing is true of Shoreshim. As we build from a letter to a word, and from a word to a sentence or a verse, this is all part of the structure of the Hebrew alphabet. So which of those two Shoreshes are correct? Or maybe they're both correct. So let's delve into the spice a little bit. You have four letters. Using the Atbash substitution, Aleph to Taf and Bet to Shin, the Mem gets substituted for a Yud. The Mem is the 10th letter, not the 10th letter, but Mem is the 10th letter from the end of the Aleph Bet. The Yud is the 10th letter from the beginning. Mem and Yud substitute for each other. The Tzadi, which is the second letter of the word, the fifth letter from the end, and the fifth letter from the front is the He. So Mem gets substituted for Yud, Tzadi gets substituted for He, to He. We now have the tetragrammaton, Yud He Vav He. It's clearly explaining to us that performing a mitzvah is a connection to the Creator. You can see it clearly from what I just said to you. If you were writing it down, it would be much clearer. But ultimately, you have to now ask a question. Why don't I substitute for the Vav and He and use the same? And this is where we begin to understand some other aspects of word creation. In the Tetragrammaton, there is the upper worlds, which refer to the three higher spherot, but more importantly, Chachma and Bina, the higher level. They are referred to as concealed worlds. And the lower worlds, the Vav and the He of the Tetragrammaton, are referred to as revealed worlds. Because whenever you have a word of four letters, the first two are concealed. The last two are revealed. If they're revealed, there's no need to do a letter substitution. If they are concealed, it's clearly meant to do a letter substitution. You now have an explanation for why I did not substitute for the Vav and the He. They're the revealed worlds. They're already there, Vav and He, as aspects of the Tetragrammaton, already revealed. But the relationship of the Mem and the Tzadi is not revealed, it's concealed. And therefore it needs the letter substitution. So you can see that the higher roots, the more effective roots, is to perform a mitzvah with the consciousness of connecting to the Creator. And it also helps us understand how the Zohar comes and says that doing something as a command, even if that command comes from the Creator, is doing it as idol worship. And that takes a little bit of understanding, because it doesn't make sense, and especially for religious people, they find it very difficult to understand this. But the concept of mitzvah, if done with the consciousness that God commands me, is considered idol worship. Because what does God truly want from us or for us? What he wants is for us to become a cause. That's what we asked for in the higher world, in the endless world. We wanted to remove bread of shame because there was nobody to share with. Because we were not a cause, we were just an effect. When you accept a command from someone else, then you are being the effect of whoever that someone else is. If I say to someone, go turn off the light in this room, please, and that person does it, they're doing it not because they are the cause, but because I'm the cause, they are the effect. We're in this world to be a cause, each and every one of us, to be a cause for ourselves. All of this explanation, which has taken about 10 or 15 minutes, seems a little bit excessive, but all of this is built in to the wisdom of the spices. Without the letter substitution, without the gematrias, without the astrology, there is so much less to the letters. Now, I'm going to take the last 10 minutes just to read you a midrash. It's actually a midrash that's rather new. It was written up in the last 20 years. Can a midrash be written today? When you and I make up a story, it's a midrash. There is a difference between the midrashim from our background, from those books that have come to us. Those midrashim are really truth. The story I make up may or may not be truth, depending on my level of consciousness at that moment. But what has been written down and come across to us over the ages, those midrashim is considered Torah. What I'm reading to you was created out of Kabbalistic Midrash. In the beginning, there was a garden and a palace. 22 gates opened into the garden. 22 paths led from the gates to the palace. But the palace had only one door. what an unusual palace it was. It was constructed with bricks that were crafted in the shapes of each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The space between each letter and its neighbor was the mortar that held the palace together. The 22 gates to the garden were each opened by a different key shaped like a different letter of the alphabet. The Aleph gate would be opened only by the Aleph key, the Bet gate only by the Bet key, the Gimel gate only by the Gimel key. In the palace lived a king, a queen, a prince, and a princess. What is the garden? And what is the palace? The garden is the Garden of Eden, the place where the souls who have achieved correction spend their time. The palace is where higher level than the Garden of Eden, the place where Hashem spends his time. At midnight, according to Kabbalah, the palace and the garden unify, and the Creator goes into the palace, into the garden, to study with the tzaddikim who are waiting for the rest of us to become tzaddikim, to complete our tikkun. There are 22 gates opened into the garden. There are 22 paths. But we're told there are 32 paths. So what is the difference between the 22 paths and the 32 paths? And how do the 32 paths of wisdom from the Sefer Yetzirah equate to the 42-letter name of God? There are 10 sephirot. There are 22 paths. There are 22 letters. 10 plus 22 is 32. But a letter without a vowel has no sound. Oh, it has a base sound. But then there are 10 vowels, surprisingly so. 10 plus 22 plus 10 is 42. You see how the structure of the numbers from the letters build our understanding, our connection to the letters. Last week I spoke to you about the tradition that we have 600,000 men from the census of walking in the Torah, walking in the desert. We have 600,000 root souls in the nation of Israel. Rabbi Ashlag teaches that 600,000 is the minimum size that it takes for me taking care of other people and other people taking care of my desires in order to make sure that every desire is fulfilled somehow within the nation, and the nation does not need to go outside of itself to obtain a fulfillment. The minimum size is 600,000 root souls. And that's where the tradition that there's 600,000 letters, because each of us has a letter. If you're ever called to the Torah for an aliyah, the Kabbalists teach and almost nobody notices it. But as you scan the first letter of your reading, as you touch the scroll, not the letters themselves, look for the first letter of your name, the last letter of your name, the middle letters of your name, because one of those letters is yours. It's connected to your root soul. We don't know which one connects to us, but the light that is revealed by searching or even finding L'Ayin HaRa is an amazing revelation of light. Make the effort. People will wait. It's not a long time. And the revelation of light, both for you and for them, is extremely powerful. Does anybody have any questions? I'm going to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so you said that the tetragrammaton was 42 letters?
No, the tetragrammaton is 4 letters. That's the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. The 42-letter... The 42-letter name of God is the Anava Koach prayer. There are 42 words in that prayer. The first letter of each word makes up the actual name that was used by the Creator in creation. In three weeks' time, we will be... listening in the Torah to a repetition, not a really a repetition, but a review of the 42 points of travel, journeys, that took place when we walked in the desert. Why 42? Because of the aspects. We need the creation during the three-week negative period as a protection shield prior to going into the month of Av, prior to the second half of that period, that is more intense than the first half.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, why is it that some Kabbalists use 72 for what they call the Shem Ham Fresh?
If you go to class number 4 of my classes, I explain the 72 names of God and the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. And there is a clear relationship, but I don't have time to go into it today, how we go from the 12 tribes to the 42-letter name of God to the 72-letter name of God. There are a few sections in the Zohar. They're a little esoteric, but they explain this progress and process and how it also goes to 216 letters that are made up of the 72 names, because there are 72 triads. And the 216, 3 times 72, the 216 spells the word Aryeh, which means lion. And all how that all relates to each other. Everything is unified. So there are times when we need the 72 names in order to manifest control of the physical world. But we need the 42-letter name to manifest creation in the world of Yetzirah. On one level, we need to use the 42-letter name. On another level, we need to utilize the 72-letter names. I hope I've answered your question.
I think you did when you said go to your number 4 thing.
Okay. If you have any questions after that, feel free to call me. By the way, I don't recognize your voice. What's your name?
My name's Adam Goldman.
How are you, Adam? We spoke a few weeks ago, I remember.
Yeah, I remember too. So, I just made, I guess that last class wasn't going to happen, so I came to over here. The gematria, you also talked about the forwards and backwards besides the letter substitution, and then there's another one where you bend the entire alphabet in half, isn't there?
Yes, that's one of the seven lower ones that I mentioned.
Okay.
There's another one where they relate to each other based on a third of the letter. There's 27 letters, and so they 3 times 9 is 27. So,
right.
You know, the aleph to the tet is basically that one.
Yeah, I was just thinking about multiplication when you said the 216, because that's 6 times 6 times 6, or 6 cubed.
Exactly. There's always, it's actually 2 to the 8th?
But through gematria, you can just keep breaking the numbers down until you wind up with 0, correct?
Well, or you get to a prime number, and we have to understand what the prime numbers are related to, which is where you get the Fibonacci series. The first verses in the Torah, I forget how deep it goes, follows the Fibonacci sequence. So,
right.
It's all built into it. Everything is known, and it's all in the written scroll, but it takes the letter substitution, it takes the gematria, it takes the astrology, all of it, to be able to unify and perceive the totality of the wisdom. Are there any other questions? Next week we will start to participate looking at the letter Aleph in as many ways and aspects as we can. But I needed to do these two beginning classes to give you some structure to understand what we will be doing in the other letters, or in the letters as we go into the details of them. Have a beautiful week.
All right.
Next week at 10. Are there any other questions before we hang up?
I think that's it.
Oh,
yes.
On the Yetzer, Yetzera, are you going to use Kaplan's version?
Most of the students will. It'll be the version I recommend that people bring to the class, but I won't be using it directly.
Could we use it for reference?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to clarify that, though. Thank you.
No problem, Chris. Okay. Everybody, have a beautiful week. Please consider making a donation for the classes that you hear, whether it's through PayPal or if you'd like to do it on a direct payment method, whatever is convenient for you. If you need to know where to mail a check, please give me a call and I'll be happy to provide my current address. Everybody have a good week.